Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the Mangalog podcast. I am your host, John, and I just want to start again. I feel like I do this every time, but I want to apologize for the delay and for the inconsistent publishing schedule, because like it's a Wednesday now when I'm doing this, and I had been getting good about posting this like by the end of the week every week, and this is kind of like right on that hump day, but I just want to get this episode out because it was actually supposed to come earlier. I was going to post this back to back with the Dragon Ball episode that I did last, just to catch up with the releases. Well, needless to say, that did not work out. So I actually owe you guys, I guess after Boruto, I owe you guys an episode that should have dropped last Friday and then the one that drops this Friday. So there might be, I think this Friday, assuming all goes well, I think this Friday is going to be a double episode where I'm going to be covering either two manga or either that, or I'm just going to drop two separate episodes. That way, you know, if you're not interested in one particular manga, you still have the option of choosing the one episode instead of having to scrub forward in a single episode to get to the, you know, the manga that you're actually interested in. But yeah, sorry, the holiday schedule is just, it's kind of crazy. My family's been home because of the snow, which usually doesn't happen in this area that I live. But of course, because I moved here to escape the snow, well, part of the reason we moved here, they have record snow the year that we decided to move down, which is kind of hilarious and ironic, but it is what it is. So today we're going to be covering Boruto, I guess the subtitle for that is Naruto Next Generations. And I'm not going to get too heavy into the detailed spoilers, but there's just some things that are unavoidable for this sequel. So if you haven't finished Naruto or somehow haven't been spoiled about, like, you know, the next generation characters, who they come from, obviously Boruto is Naruto's son. I mean, if you can't tell that by the name and the way he looks, but there are some other characters that are children of the other main characters from the original series that you may or may not want spoiled for you. If you've seen the Boruto and Naruto the movie, then you already know about most of this. The manga, at least the first arc, follows very closely to what is told in the movie. And if you're watching the anime, at this point, if you're caught up, then you should also be past the arc that's covered in the manga, first 10 chapters, and also the movie. The anime actually adds some extra details from some of Kishimoto's, or whoever, I think Kishimoto wrote some stuff for the movie that was cut out, but then they added it to the anime when the anime covered that Chunin exam arc. As you can tell, it's a little confusing because we've got the Boruto anime, or I'm sorry, the Boruto movie. Then we have the Boruto anime, and then we have the Boruto manga, and all three of them kind of do their own thing. And just to like clear that up, I guess, I haven't seen the Boruto movie, but basically that follows the students, Boruto, Sarada, and Mitsuki. They are in the process of taking the Chunin exams, and actually, I don't really need to get into details about that. But yeah, but there's the Chunin exams going on, and there's some stuff going on, some dark stuff behind the scenes. But that's where the movie, that's the kind of the span that the movie covers, the beginning and end of the Chunin exams and like the stuff that goes on in between. Then you have the anime, which is like a prequel to the movie, really. They're not even the students, Boruto and his friends, are not even graduated from the Ninja Academy. They it takes like 50 episodes or something for them to actually get to that point. So all the stuff before that is just, I hate to use filler, but that's basically what it is. It's not really filler, though, because they considered it canon. It's just starting at a different point in time, so that to give the manga more time to release chapters for the anime to adapt into, for the anime, for the story. So like it doesn't actually get to the Chunin exam arc until like episode 50 something in the anime, whereas the movie, that's where the movie started, where they already graduated and they were going to the Chunin exams. The manga is very similar to the movie. It starts where the main characters are already genin, so they're already graduated from the Ninja Academy, but they're in the process of starting the Chunin exams. And so it's covering a lot from the movie, but then unlike the movie, obviously, because the movie ends, the manga continues from that arc. And the anime will also continue from that arc, but it's going to have its own arcs in between to kind of, you know, pad out the series to give it time to keep making episodes while the manga is on its slow release schedule. Unfortunately, unlike Naruto, the original Naruto, which was a weekly series, Boruto is a monthly series. And granted, the chapter's a little bit longer, but again, it's releasing at nowhere near the same clip as the original Naruto. So it's coming out a lot slower, which doesn't give the anime a lot of breathing room when it comes to the material that it wants to adapt from the manga. But yeah, it's a little bit tricky. Boruto, the way the three versions of it coexist, and that technically there's not even three versions. They're also releasing light novels, which I'm not really going to get into. So yeah, they consider this the versus Momoshiki arc. Again, this is the Chunin exams arc, chapters 1 through 10 in the Boruto manga, and episodes 52 through 66 in the Boruto anime. And then, of course, that's what's covered in the movie. So, yeah, we have the start. I guess I could start by introducing the character. So we have Boruto, the son of Naruto, and Hinata. And he's a little different. Actually, he's a lot different than Naruto. Besides his name and design, he's a lot different than Naruto because he, unlike Naruto, who was basically an orphan, and he was kind of ostracized from the village because of, like, his status as the child that bears the demon fox spirit inside of him, the demon fox that terrorized the Leaf Village and killed the fourth Hokage. So Naruto had he had it a little rough than Boruto did. I mean, I don't want to minimize what Boruto has to go through in this manga. But they have a very different set of problems they have to deal with. So in Boruto's case, his father, which, spoilers, is the Hokage. And with that, comes some certain things. Like, when you have a father that's too busy doing work to, to basically attend to your needs, even though he's doing the best he can, it's just like you feel that lack of presence, like, especially when there are certain scenes in the manga, like birthdays and stuff, where Naruto isn't present because he's tending to the village. And a lot of the times it shows Naruto just like in his office, swamped with stacks of paperwork, or, he's doing things behind the scenes that his son just doesn't know about, because he doesn't want to burden his family with that knowledge. Boruto, he's very good reason, he's very bratty. He's kind of acting out because he wants the attention of his father, and he's pretty spoiled. He's a pretty spoiled kid. That's what he behaves like a lot of the time in the early chapters of the manga, which, can be a kind of a turnoff for some people, but this is all part of his character growth. His father, you kind of have to look at his circumstances. Granted, he doesn't have anywhere near as tough as Naruto did, but he doesn't know everything that Naruto had to go through as a child. So he doesn't have that perspective. So he's very in his own little bubble and complaining about his own issues when they're people that were way worse off than he was. I mean, he's living in a time of peace, at least, at the start of this manga, and, technological advancement. Like, he has things much easier than, his elders did growing up. So it's a very interesting change in perspective. A lot of people expect Boruto to be a carbon copy of Naruto, and he's not really. He's definitely his own character. He definitely is. And he learned, and the anime, it's weird, I pronounce anime and anime like interchangeably sometimes, so I apologize if that annoys you guys, like, I'm like, anime, anime. But the anime, it makes Boruto more, I guess, sympathetic, or like they make him a little bit of a nicer character. It's weird, like, but the Boruto in the anime is a little bit different from the Boruto in the manga. The Boruto in the manga is a little, he's a little harsher, he's a little brattier, and then it's like the one in the anime is a little has a little more chill, so you know, it depends which version you're watching, but they're both basically the same character. It's just the way it's represented in the story is just a tad different, but it's the same type of character. But anyways, not to spend, I mean, Boruto is the title character, so it's good to spend a decent amount of time on him. But yeah, you know, he's just acting out. He wants his father's attention. He kind of like blows up on Naruto a few times in the story. And he makes some good points, but again, he's coming from a different perspective. He doesn't know everything that's going on. And he's just, you know, he's a kid. It's hard to remember that these characters are children, so they're going to act like children. But yeah, then we have Sarada. She's kind of having a similar issue, actually, with her father, which, again, spoilers, is Sasuke. I mean, Sarada Uchiha. I mean, who else is going to birth her? There's not many Uchiha left, or any, at this point. So you have Sarada, and she's the daughter of Sasuke. She also is dealing with her own issues with her father just not being present, because, of course, just like Sasuke was a... you know, I'm not going to rag too much on Sasuke, but I was going to say some things. But, you know, Sasuke, he's just not present. He's an absentee father. But at least Naruto's sort of present in his family, whereas Sasuke just like, peace, doing his own thing. I mean, granted, he has his reasons. He's on a secret mission or whatever. Yeah, I'm on a secret mission with the boys, you know. I got to go out, honey. I'm sorry now. but yeah, Sasuke is doing his own little thing. And, you know, Sarada's feeling that absence. And so is Sakura, actually, which I didn't really talk about the older characters that much. I'm just trying to introduce the main three. You know, team, well, I don't know if they're the new team seven. I can't remember what number they were. But yeah. So we have, yeah, Sarada, and she's, I got into their personalities and stuff, but, not so much their abilities. I guess I'll get into that after. Sarada, she's very smart. She's strong. She gets all her strength from, you know, her physical strength from Sakura. And then her just like ninjutsu prowess from Sasuke. She's these kids, like, they're just a mashup of the best parts of their parents, which is pretty pretty cool. Just how much stronger, how much of like a leap start they've had as Genin. They're pulling off stuff and pulling off missions that, you know, kids in their rank shouldn't be able to. But yeah, Sarada, I don't really know how to explain her. Like, she's smart. She's strong. She's kind of calm and collected. Occasionally, she has those moments where she'll do that, you know, little angry tirade like Sakura used to do when Naruto and her were children. So she'll do the same thing to Boruto sometimes. But she's not as physical. Sakura will literally just punch Naruto in the head, whereas Sarada is a little more reserved, probably, you know, taking that more from Sasuke. She's a pretty good mashup of both of their personalities. Only thing is that that's exactly what she is. I mean, I'm trying to think of what makes her stand out compared to her parents, other than she's like, you know, she's a mashup of their personalities and abilities. Whereas Boruto, at least, you know, that brattiness and stuff that he has doesn't come from Hinata and doesn't come from Naruto. Well, sort of. When Naruto was a child, I suppose he was a little bratty, but he's at least a little different, maybe with his circumstances, I guess. I don't know. What else? Then we have Mitsuki, and, you know, his origins are kind of shrouded in mystery, but if you look at his design, you can kind of surmise what's going on with him. I don't want to get into too many spoilers with him again. If you're listening to me, then, and you've never read this manga, I mean, I'm assuming you haven't read it yet. You might want to figure out that kind of stuff on your own. But, yeah, if you've seen the movie, you already know. But I'd rather, you know, you guys discover that on your own. His backstory is pretty interesting. They do dig into it in the anime and the manga and the movie. Mitsuki is pretty cool. He uses snakes and can stretch his limbs. He's actually probably, at least in the anime, they present him as the most, like, competent out of all of them. Like, he's just always, like, he's awesome. He's just awesome, and he's like super, like, ginky, like super happy go lucky kind of. He's super chill. People probably want to call him the Sasuke of the group, but he's really not. Like, that's a weird thing. It's like, you can't really find clear clear archetypes of each of these characters. Like, you could say Boruto's Naruto, Sarada's Sakura, and Mitsuki's Sasuke, but Mitsuki's very different from Sasuke. He's dealing with some things, I guess, again, unique to him, but he's not like this on this quest. He's not an Avenger. He's not on this quest for revenge. He's not on this. He doesn't have this lust for power or anything like that. It's just and like his friendship with Naruto is kind of, it's weird. I don't really feel the, I don't quite feel the bond between these guys just yet. The same way I felt like between Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura. I imagine that that's just the kind of thing that's going to come with time. I mean, I've had plenty of time with these 700 and something chapters with the original characters in like, you know, like 720 episodes or whatever. So like, if I haven't felt the bond between those characters at that point, then I don't know when I would have, but, so it's probably gonna take some time, but yeah, I'm not really feeling the same dynamic between the three, but I imagine I will. And of course, you know, just kind of a throwback, to the original series, their sensei is, Konohamaru, and he's pretty cool. He's got some, wood style ninjutsu and stuff like that. Like he's pretty competent of a leader. He doesn't give me the same air as Kakashi. Like, I just love Kakashi sensei so much, which was Naruto, Sakura, and Sasuke's original sensei in the original series. Like, Kakashi just awesome in like all aspects, even his design. And he's just like, he just, I don't know, I don't think any other like sensei is gonna compare to him. So Konohamaru was cool, but and it was a nice throwback. But for the most part, it's like, nah, he doesn't really measure up to Kakashi in my opinion. But then again, he's not really supposed to, but then again, he's kind of filling in that spot by as the, you know, the main character's leader. So I don't know. But yeah, I forgot to go a little bit into Boruto's ability. So what's cool is that he's got, he's like kind of OP to begin with. Like he is I mean, of course his father is the Hokage and his, mother is from one of the most, powerful clans. I mean, he's got, a mixture of like, Raitan, which is lightning jutsu, and Futon, wind jutsu. So he has some abilities or some moves that he uses that's kind of a mixture of like an air palm, which is like a Hyuga technique, you know, mixed with like some lightning ninjutsu. Like he's really cool, and he uses the shadow clones just like Naruto did. But the way that he uses them is a little, they find creative, new creative ways to use, for him to use them, which is pretty neat. It's really fun watching Boruto fight. And I'm hoping in the manga, like as much as they show Boruto fight, I'm hoping like Sarada gets more like screen time or page time, because like she should be amazing in combat. And like they show this sometimes, but very briefly, or they'll explain it, or, you know, they'll say, like, yeah, Sarada, you know, Sarada is, excels, she's at the top of her class or whatever, but, like, you hardly get to see her fight so far, and that's kind of disappointing, because she's an Uchiha, and she should be able to use, like, Raitan and the flame. I'm trying to think. I'm sorry, I'm, like, mixing, the Japanese, names and the, English. But yeah, she should be able to use like fire, you know, fire, ninjutsu and stuff. Like when my brother's watching the anime and he said like, and he's in episode like 60 something or whatever. And he said, she still hasn't used fireball jutsu. I'm like, but they show her in the opening using it. So it's kind of funny. And she's used her Sharingan a couple times, but like, you don't freaking really get to see her. Like, I don't know. I'm waiting for her moments to shine. I'm hoping we get those soon. But, yeah. I got a lot into their personalities and abilities and just what separates them from, I guess, you know, the previous three main characters. Again, I'm not feeling that sense of like depth from all of them, not just yet. You know, Sarada's getting about as much attention as Sakura did, really, when it comes to like her history and stuff like that. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more. The anime has an arc specifically focused on Sarada, which I thought was the strongest arc in the anime, before I, you know, dropped it at episode, like, 50-something, so, and just continue with the manga, yeah, what else? So, yeah, there's a tuning exams going on, and, the main, thing going with this one, it's like, none of these tuning exams can go off without a hitch, unfortunately. It just seems like when the time it does is off-screen when Naruto's training in the original series, and all, he comes back and everybody's, like, graduated. Yeah, so what's going on here is that, there's some sign, you know, technology in the Boruto world has advanced. It's actually pretty neat. It's like a weird mixture of, like, that classic Japanese, like, style, like, housing and stuff from the original series, and like, but then there's like, you know, trains and video games, and like, there was technology in the Naruto series. Like, I remember specifically seeing like security cameras and televisions in the original tuning exams, But like it just was like weird. It's like it was like outdated technology. In this case, you have some like weird looking video game, handheld video games that look like kind of futuristic, but also look like cheap knockoffs. It's like it's really weird how technology has advanced in the Botosuke series. But then you have like these large flat screen monitors in the middle of the city, or the middle of the village. It's just like I don't know. It's pretty cool, like how they managed to kind of futurize, if that's a word, modernize the Naruto universe, the Naruto world. Yeah, so this first arc is the Chunin Exam arc. I keep saying it, but then never telling you guys like what exactly is going on. and I think the manga starts off with the three going on a mission. And I can't remember what they discover on the mission, but then they come back and like they're getting prepared for the Chunin exams. We have this guy Karasuke, who's like developing this not scientific ninja tool. My dog looks like she's about to bark. I lost my train of thought because I saw my dog's head raise. I was like, "Oh no, please don't bark, please don't bark." yeah, actually, I'm not gonna get too much into the plot because I feel like that's just something either you already know or you can kind of surmise what happens. But I don't want to spoil anything that happens, like who went, any of the outcomes of the matches, the tuning exams, or any of the setup going on. They are setting up a villain, or they're setting up, some dark things going on behind the scenes. As you know, with these type of stories, like peace is not going to last. They got to set up a conflict. And if you've seen the original series or read the original series, then it is kind of interesting. Some of the stuff that you thought was just 6 feet under might not necessarily be. So I'm not gonna go too much into details with that. But one thing I didn't mention, I think I started to, but I stopped, was the manga is written and illustrated by two different people. Is Mikio Ikimoto. He had actually been working as an assistant for Kishimoto, who's the original writer and artist of the original series. His art style is actually pretty different. Kishimoto gave him like free rein to just do what he wanted with the art style instead of trying to imitate his Kishimoto's style. And I kind of like it. Like I see some similarities, some differences. You can tell that he definitely worked on the original series, but also you see that like, and especially designs of the characters. Like I noticed they're like the hair is like more detailed, which like it's kind of a weird thing to point out, but I definitely noticed it. Like Boruto's got a little more like floofs. I don't know how to explain it. Like in his hair, or like you see Mitsuki, and he's got just more like detail in general. I want to say it's kind of hard for me to like describe it. But if you see it, then you'll know what I'm talking about. That's the only thing that makes these manga podcasts hard is that it's not a visual format. But if you're physically looking at the manga, you can kind of tell what I'm talking about. Hopefully. One thing I really, really enjoy about this series is how he draws action. And honestly, I think this ex you know surpasses the original series in this respect, which might seem like blasphemy by some people, but I think Ikimoto's like the way he choreographs just the action scenes in the manga is so exciting. I never like lose where I'm at when I'm watching the action unfold. Unlike in the original Naruto, like especially towards those later arcs and Shippuden, I was getting kind of tired because it's like I'm looking at the panels and like a lot of stuff's going on and I couldn't tell what was going on. Or like the way Kishimoto would frame some things, it's like he's these there you see characters throwing hits, but then all of a sudden they're flying at the edge of the screen. You're just wondering like how did that hit connect? Like what happened? How did they get from this point to that point? Like some of his framing was really weird. But in this case, like it's clean, it's clear, it's exciting. Like I'm actually enjoying this manga a lot more action-wise compared to the original series. And honestly, I'm kind of enjoying the story a bit more too. But I don't know if it's just because of the way it's drawn or what. But I'm actually really enjoying it. And I love the original Naruto, but I have some issues with it. And I think Boruto is definitely having that new perspective with the new artist and writer, who I also have to get into, is Ukyo Kodachi. It just adds a fresh pair. It just adds that fresh perspective. It makes it a little more exciting because, like, I could feel the Naruto story getting a little stale towards the end, especially when they started introducing a new villain that just came out of nowhere. It's really started to lose me toward the end, to be honest, the original series. And Boruto, it's got like a bit of a lighter tone, but it's definitely going to get, it's hinting at, you know, some darker stuff in the future. It's still pretty exciting regardless. And I like exploring these characters. I like exploring their issues. I like exploring how they interact with the characters from the previous series. I love seeing the adult versions of all the characters and just like how they've changed, you know, after having children and stuff like that. It's pretty neat. But yeah, as for the writer, Kodachi, I believe his name was, he contributed to the movie. I believe he wrote the screenplay for the movie. If I'm, you know, let me just make sure I'm getting that right. Okay, so he had assisted Kishimoto in writing the film script for the Boruto movie, but he also had written a light novel focused on Gaara in 2015. I don't know if that ever released in English. But yeah, so Kodachi is writing the story of the, or actually he's supervising the story of the anime as well, and Kishimoto is also. So like, even though these are all separate entities, like the original creator is involved in, you know, anything that's Boruto, anything being produced in Boruto, so that whether it's the manga or the anime, Kishimoto's involved, and like even the writer for the story in Boruto, just to make sure that the story lines up with what's going on in the anime. He's supervising the anime's writing as well. And if you look at the anime, the designs, it's, you know, they have different animators, different character designers and stuff. The designs look much more in line with the Kishimoto designs. So if you miss that type of a design, you could definitely watch the anime and get that same character design. They definitely look different from what they do in the manga, in subtle ways, but like ways that you can definitely see the difference, if that makes any sense. But yeah, I'm really enjoying the writing. I love the art. I love the action. I think Boruto kind of exceeded my expectations, to be honest. Like when I heard that there was going to be a sequel, I thought, why? Like, let the story end. Like, it ended on such a great note. But then again, like, it's cool that you can kind of see these characters continue on in their lives as adults, and then they have children, and then just seeing how their children compare and the types of issues that they're going to have to deal with. That's actually really exciting. Like, I had to change my perspective a little bit. Like, I love this world. I love this universe. I don't mind being in it again. And I actually like the fact that Kishimoto decided he didn't want to write the sequel. But he's giving the new artist and author basically free reign to do what they want, even kill off characters. So if they do that, and if they stick with it, unlike Kishimoto, who tends to bring back characters, I will actually be really excited for the future of the series. I really want to see what's going to happen. I don't know how I feel about, you know, certain characters being killed off if and when they do. I'm just like, I like knowing that, hey, the story's over, so-and-so is alive, and like, I don't have to imagine them eventually dying. But yeah, that's Boruto. I think I went pretty heavy into this. Currently, there are 4 volumes in English. The 5th one's set to release in March, which is kind of weird. It's a really long wait time. But if you were caught up with the Shonen Jump chapters in the magazine, then, or I'm sorry, if you're caught up with the 4 volumes, the Shonen Jump app or the Viz app, they're releasing the latest Boruto chapters for free, actually. And so you can catch up still with and you could stay up to date with the Japanese release. Currently in the Japanese release, there are 29 chapters out, 6 volumes have been compiled, but again, you can catch up with the 29 chapters if you just stick to the Shonen Jump app. If you've already read the first 4 volumes, read and bought the first 4 volumes. But also, and this is pretty neat, I am so happy this is happening. Shonen Jump is doing something a little different, actually a lot different. They're rebranding or redesign, you know, their logo looks different. They're adding a new subscription service. They're dropping, I think they're dropping the Shonen Jump model. Excuse me for the pauses. I'm just like yawning. I'm really tired. They're dropping that model. They're doing a, basically they're releasing the latest chapters of all their series for free. The latest 3 chapters. So if you got to stay caught up, they eventually expire after a while or something like that, I believe. So if you want to stay caught up, you can do it for free. And if you pay like $2 a month, you get access to the entire back catalog of pretty much all of their series that have been published in English. And that's like, they said like 10,000 plus chapters, which is insane. And I'm so excited. That's going to save me a ton of money, especially with like series like One Piece that are so long. So that's really exciting. And they already announced like Boruto, all your favorites will be there. So Boruto, you can catch up on like the entire back catalog from chapter one on. But even like for long series like One Piece, this is going to be amazing. So you can wait for that. That drops December 17th. Yeah. So there's a couple ways you could read the series if you would like. Yeah, but that's it for this episode. All right, so next week's series, sorry if there was a quick cut there. I actually changed my mind last minute on the series that I wanted to cover. as per usual with this show, everything's just kind of like unorganized. I apologize. But the next series is Berserk, from written and illustrated by Kentaro Miura. And I actually just got this on sale. The volumes are pretty big, so they're a little more expensive than usual. And I got it on sale. I got like three of the volumes, and I'm really excited to read it, but I need the proper motivation to do it. And I figured, you know what? I got the podcast, so if I announce it as a series, I'm going to have to read it. So here I am. I'm going to announce it as the next series for the next episode, which should drop. Well, I want to try to read these first three volumes, and I know they're pretty freaking long, but if I could read those by Friday, then I should be able to release that episode Friday. And then after that, before next Friday, I need to follow up with another episode and to make up for lost, to catch up with my release schedule. And then after that, I'll release back to normal on Friday, hopefully. I'm really sorry, guys. I want to be consistent with this because, like, I don't want to lose anybody, any listeners, especially if they're used to me releasing at a certain time. And I want to be on a consistent schedule. This podcast, I'm not going to let go of this podcast. Like, and if I did, I would let you guys know. But I wouldn't, because I'm really enjoying this. It's just a matter of just finding the right time and time to myself to record with no noise, no distractions, and just having that time to read and pay close attention when I'm reading, you know, and not being pulled away by other things, you know? So yeah, next series is Berserk, written and illustrated by Kentaro Miura. I think it's published by Dark Horse. You'll have to double check my... double check me on that, but yeah, so that's exciting. It's a pretty well-renowned series. It's just kind of a warning, it's pretty graphic, both like sexually explicit and just like the gore and the subject matter in general is probably not the most accessible to everyone, so you might want to look at a synopsis or something just to see if it's for you before you decide to purchase the first volume and start reading. But yeah, if you're into that stuff, then yeah, be excited, I guess. yeah, so I'll sorry again for the wait. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you guys in the next one.